Happy Mother's Day. For our mothers out there, just a good happy Mother's Day. My mom's here this morning, was able to have her here as well this morning, so she's able to hear what God's Word has to say. And I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. We're going to, through 33, we're going to start there today. So Matthew 14. I brought two different copies of my notes. One has a larger font than the other. I was trying to see which one I could see without my glasses. I can't see either one. So here's what we have to do. Matthew 14 says this. Immediately he, Jesus, made the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got on the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. God, I'm grateful for your scriptures that we get to delve into today. I'm grateful for the lessons you teach us through your scriptures to see more of you, to understand who you are, the one that we worship and call our Lord. My prayer today is, God, that you would speak to our hearts, to those who have grown weary in their faith, who have struggled in their faith, who have fallen, who have difficulties in their faith. God, that they would be encouraged today from your word and see the kind of God that you are and be restored. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The passage we just read today records an incredible power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it follows an equally amazing event on the day before, showing the power of God to provide for his people. Take a look back in chapter 14, just before this, where Jesus had heard of the death of his own cousin, his cousin John, beheaded by Herod. And Jesus, man and God, as a man, his heart was broken. He needed time to grieve and to pray. He needed time to get away. And yet the crowds pressed him. In verse 13, it says that he tried to take a boat to go to a quiet place to pray, but when the crowds heard where he was, they followed him. He can't get away from all of the people. And in verse 14, it says this, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go to the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. What do we do with this, Jesus?' And he said to them, 'Bring them to me.' And so he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And he broke the loaves, He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate, and they were satisfied. In this truly remarkable instance of the power of God and his compassion for the people to provide for them everything given to them for what they needed, this just happened the evening before. His disciples saw this. Everything that had just happened, days on end, in this final sequence of things, they saw the miracles of Jesus. This should have stuck with them, shouldn't it? It would with us, or would it? In those moments of tiredness, we tend to forget what God can truly do. Jesus had done it with compassion, putting his own grief aside, his own needs, his own tiredness, to tend to the hunger of the people that he needed to tend to. When it was all over, the crowds finally began to disperse, just like one of our potluck dinners that we have after church, and everybody tends to stay around forever, and the crowds finally disperse, and you wonder when everybody's going to be gone. Jesus finally had time to go and to pray. He took care of his people first. So he sends his disciples on before him so that he can be alone with his Father. Again, to grieve and to spend time and pray. I have a question for you today. Have you ever felt like Jesus did at that moment? Just weary, tired of things in life. Things have battered you in your life. You're exhausted, you need rest. But it feels like life doesn't seem to give you that moment of rest that you can just get everything together again and sort it out and to have that peace. Maybe it's even causing your faith to become weak and mechanical because you're struggling. Here's another question for you today. Have you ever felt like Peter? When, even after seeing the miracles of God in your life and those around you, and being a recipient of all of his loving care that you've seen in your own life, your faith has grown tired, and you faltered. You've been faithfully following Jesus, you know all of this, but somehow the doubt has crept into your life, and you wonder, is it truly real? Is everything I've been told by so many people, from myself, from the pastor at this pulpit, from others, is it truly real? And the doubts have crept into your life. The reason I'm preaching this today is because I think some of you are in that position right now, or you will be. And so today my prayer is that you would see where the disciples are and what they found in the power of God to save them. This will challenge you. We have been challenged in our lives by the storms of life, and what will we do when those storms come? When I look at this, I want to show you today that you can have your faith fully restored, fully renewed. In fact, it can be made stronger than ever before. You have a God that can do that. This is the kind of faith where we can trust in the one who saved Peter in the same way through the mightiest of storms of our lives. There is hope. Some of you have lost that hope that Jesus so much wants you to have. And it is something that can be renewed and restored. There's two things from this passage I just want you to see here today as we're looking at this. One, our faith will be tested. Just in this instance here, we see this testing of our faith. We will be tested in our lives. Regardless of who you are, what you believe, what you know is true, your faith will be tested. Your faith, my faith, it will be challenged by the world, will it not? And your faith and my faith will be challenged by ourselves. I want us to see these two things today. First, the world. Peter, who had just been witness to the wonderful things of Christ, all of the incredible miracles performed by Jesus, he had enough faith to even step out of the boat, to walk on water. Incredible. To even be witness to that event to have that much faith in that moment in Jesus Christ. It says, but when he saw the wind, he what? He became afraid, and he began to sink. Something about that wind disturbed him. I'll tell you this, that his lapse in that very moment did not start in that moment. His lapse in his faith started well before this. The tiredness that he witnessed the day before, everything that happened before this, this was just the culmination of it, to show this. Remember, he'd been with Jesus all this time, and the crowds had worn him out just like it had worn out Jesus. He was tired. He was discouraged of all the crowds. Remember, he was one of those who said, what are we going to do with these fish? How do we do this? His doubt was there. And on top of this, here's a storm that comes along while they're on a sea, and Jesus is not even in the boat. So life can be wearisome. They were tired, and the winds were against them. Physically, at the moment, they were far from Jesus. He was over there on the land, and he had sent them ahead. We should remember also this, that in those tired moments of our lives, Satan will step right into your life. Satan will step in and push you when you are the weakest. That's his desire. His desire is to help you, in fact, to fail. Everything you can do in your life, Satan wants you to fail in your faith. When you look at, let's just go to the 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. In your Bibles, I'll give you a moment to get there, because we will come back here again. Hold your place in Matthew. We'll come back to that in just a moment. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion seeking whom he would devour. We often forget that there is a Satan, there is a devil. It doesn't seem like we should pay attention to that, but boy, we should. He is seeking to devour you in your faith. Also, I want you to turn to Luke 22, 31. 31 to 34 is a scripture about Peter, and just before he witnesses the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross, here's what Jesus says to him in Luke 22, 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, to strengthen your brothers. And Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, that the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you even know me. Peter, I know you say you have great faith, and yet the storm will come, and you will deny me. But there is hope, because Jesus is our God. Jesus is our Lord. Peter's world was shaken. His faith was under attack, and Satan was right there trying to help him to fail. The storm was strong, and he faltered. Satan is on the prowl. Be watchful. Be aware. Satan is in this world, and this world is full of sin, isn't it? It will challenge your faith and question even what you believe. And you'll hear this, and you'll start to believe what others say in this world. It'll ask questions like Satan did in the very beginning. Is this really true? Can I really, depending on the scripture, is what I hear from this pulpit even true? And the world will test you, and Satan will just push you a little bit in that direction. I'll tell you this, I'm a person who likes to delve in and analyze and understand everything I can understand. Many of you are the same way. And if I don't understand it, I'm going to continue to dig until I either understand it or have to give up. One of the two. And I will say this. Not everything about God is intended for you to know. You will not know everything about God there is to know. You will never have all the answers. Those around you will ask questions that you will never even be able to answer. Don't worry about it. It's okay. We don't have to know everything. We only have to know what God has intended for us to know in these scriptures. Be faithful in the scriptures. You will never have all the answers. That's hard for me, and it may be hard for you, but that's where faith comes in. And so we relax and we let God handle it for us and build our faith in him and trust him. The world will also twist the gospel. It will make it sound something completely different than what you've ever heard before. And you'll have to dig into scriptures to even see if it's true or not. It will stand against you and point to fallen Christians and say, see, your faith has no foundation at all. You have heard of many Christians who failed, I'm sure. Maybe even in your own family, those who have been pastors in the past who have been great Christians and spoken great words from the pulpit and have fallen. But our trust isn't in them, is it? Our trust is in Jesus Christ, the one who has never fallen, the one who never will fail, the one who we have faith in. That is where our foundation is. We can have conversations about others who have fallen, but that's where our faith stops. We do not have faith in people. We have faith in God. And so don't let that bother you. The winds of the world are against us. And when Peter moved his attention from Jesus, from God, to the world, the winds had come up against him. What happens? His faith falters. It says, when he saw the wind, then he was afraid, and he began to sink. Storms come into our lives, don't they? And we've had quite a few of them here recently, and you've probably been recipient of that. I thought that was good preparation for this message. I did not plan that. I did not ask for that. But they're good reminders, aren't they? They're good pictures of when we have to rely on God to take us through those storms. And they can test our faith. How do we react? Are we built on the solid rock that is Christ? Or are we built on sand? If you're built on Jesus, we can remember that you're on solid ground. Even if you seem to forget at times, and boy, don't we forget, Jesus never lets you go, ever. Jesus is there for you. And remember in this story here, who reached out? Jesus did. Jesus is the one who reached out and gave his hand to Peter to save him. Jesus is the one who comes to you and gives you his hand of salvation. He comes to you. Thank God he does that for us. Amen? Every single day. Earlier in April, Karen and I were asleep, as many of you probably were at the time around midnight, and I started to slowly awake to the hum of that siren that you hear outdoors. I didn't know in that moment what it was. You kind of have that bleary thought that some hum, I don't know what it is, but we probably should get awake and do something. We finally decided it was sirens for a storm, and then they stopped. Well, what do you do? Well, we're going to go ahead and get up, and we went downstairs. By the time we got downstairs, I was still tired. I lay down on the couch, and I just tried to sleep again. I don't know if it's going to go off or not, but what am I going to do? There's a storm coming. What could I do? What can you do when the storms come? I'll say this. The storms will come in your life. You have to trust in Jesus because you're going to go through them again. Your faith will be made stronger when you go through those storms. 1 Peter 1:6 says this, and rejoice in this. Though now for a little while it's necessary, and you've been grieved by various trials, so that the testing of your faith might be proved genuine. More precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, and may be found to result in the praise and the glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It should always, always point us back to the glory of Jesus Christ. Even when we attempt to falter and to fail in our own faith, and he brings us back, it will always point to him. Everything we do, we can rest easy in Jesus Christ because he never lets go, and he always reaches out to us. Not only are we tested by this world, but we tend to test ourselves. We make it hard for ourselves. We self-inflict all kinds of problems in our life that will test our faith. I apologize for making so many references to air flight because I do travel quite a bit. It becomes part of my illustrations, and this one is one of those because, it was just something I just caught my attention. I was on a flight here a couple of months ago back from North Carolina, and I'd just gotten on the seat of the plane. Passengers were starting to come through, and a lady comes in carrying her bag in one hand, her little girl in the other one, another bag on her back, and then you have the other bag, and so you can catch the mother kind of mode, all of these things going on. And you mothers, I know you come in with all of the things, then you carry them, and praise God for you, right? lots to handle. And she was trying to calm her daughter because they were getting on the plane, and she had dropped her little bear somewhere. All of these things that she had, and the little girl, all she had to do was hold on to her little bear, and she dropped it somewhere. That was her responsibility. The flight attendant there at the door heard this, and she says, I'll see if we can help you here. The pilot on the plane offered to go and go look for it. He came back with a bear. He says, I found this on the jet bridge. He says, oh, this is just too cute. I don't know if I can give you this or not. It was a great pilot. And he held up the little bear. He gave it to the little girl, and she took it, and the lady and the little girl walked off. I did not hear a thank you. There was nothing. You would love for that story to be a good ending, wouldn't you? In the moment, her life was so busy, and she was so preoccupied with everything, she had just missed an opportunity. You know what you and I do? We're so busy, we miss out. We do it. Moms and dads, when you're trying to juggle all the things of your life and your family and your kids, and you're trying to do everything together, your faith can get pushed to the bottom of that stack. It can get pushed down, and it's weakened. Not only are you missing opportunities to be thankful for these things, like the woman I just described, but you can start to sink under all of this pressure of your life. Your mind is starting to be occupied with all of these kinds of things in your life. And you'll find your time with Jesus is suddenly gone. And you can't find time for him anymore. And you're just trying to get through things, and all of a sudden the day is closed. It even gets tiring to try to rediscover your own faith in God. You're just too tired. You're trying to keep busy, get your kids to school, get them dressed, go to work, get dinner done, go to the fourth sporting event this week, all the practices, everything you can do, and you're trying to be here for the moms. You're trying to be that perfect Proverbs 31 woman, aren't you? And a lot of you have heard this message, even on Mother's Day, to be the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm going to tell you this, and hear me carefully on this. You'll never be perfect. You're never going to measure up. It's okay to miss something. It's okay if your kids aren't perfect. By the way, they'll never be perfect, even if you think that they should be. They will never be. Do your part and trust God with the rest. That's your responsibility. The stress, the feeling you're somehow failing at these things, and moms and dads, sometimes you get to a place where you failed your kids. This is God's responsibility. You do your part and then you trust God. But your faith can really struggle in those moments, can't it? I want you to do this. I want you to stop, be quiet for a moment, and reach out to God, just like Peter did. You need that. You truly do. Perfection in what you do is not God's goal for you. Knowing Jesus and trusting him is. The Pharisees were very good at following the laws as it was given to them. And what did Jesus do? Jesus admonished them that they were failing to show love and compassion to those who were around them. And they had missed. They had missed it. They had missed the opportunity. It's better to be quiet and to delight in the Lord than to be busy and to miss him altogether. Now, when Jesus came to the home of Mary and Martha, if you remember this story, here's what he did for Mary and Martha. It says in Luke 10, Mary and Martha were there, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone?" Poor sister. "Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary's portion will not be taken away from her. Mary is spending time with me. And that's what's critical. It's necessary. To start renewing your faith, you need to spend time with God. It's necessary. So for you husbands, since this is Mother's Day, I want you to do this for me. This is one thing you can do for your wives. Make sure that she has time to worship the Lord. Make sure that she has time to be able to spend with him and that her faith is not lacking, but it grows. That's your responsibility. You're the husband. Do that. Make sure of that. Our faith needs to grow because when it does not grow, something will start to creep in. Sin. And sin will take over your life like a devastating weed. It'll take over your heart. It'll take over your time. It'll take over your faith. Spend time with the Lord. And that means that we have to be humble and repent today. We need to confess. We need to confess our apathy and your lack of trust in Jesus Christ. If you find your faith has suffered and you want that joy and that peace back again, this is where it starts to change. Now we understand the world's challenges. We understand our own challenges. Here's where it changes. Remember this, that our faith is in Jesus. In this passage that we just read, Jesus reveals himself as the one that Peter could have faith in and that we can have faith in. He is the one that reached out. Remember this, number one, that Jesus is our advocate. He is the one who fights for us. He continues to fight for us. He is the one who, by the way, went to a cross for you. He's the one that spent it all for you. Jesus is the one who fights for us. Remember this, because when you're lacking in faith, the first one that we tend to forget is Jesus. It's a strange thing that we tend to forget the power of the one that we're even trusting in. When he was up on the mountain, going away to pray, who do you think he was praying for? Just himself? No. He was praying for his disciples. Time and again, Jesus would pray for his disciples that their faith would grow. And he does that. He advocates for us as well. Number two, remember what I just said. He came to them. When they were out on the water in the boat and Jesus came to them, it does not say that he searched high and low for them. He knew exactly where they were and he went right out to them. And remember this, that he knows exactly where you are. He doesn't have to search for you. He knows where you are. In fact, he knows what you're thinking right now. He doesn't have to think about it. He doesn't have to ask anyone. He knows right where you are. He even knows that you're lacking faith in him. And he never gives you up. So remember that. He is the one who comes to you. He is always near. He's always ready. And when the disciples needed him, he was there. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And he is near. If you're lacking in faith, all you have to do is ask. He is not far. The third thing is that he revealed himself. And this is an incredible thing. When I read this, I had to read this again. Listen to this. What did he say to Peter? He said, "Take heart. It is I." That's the most dramatic statement he could have had said right at that moment. Take heart. It's I. If you're in trouble, the one you want to come to you is the one who has the ability to make something happen. And in Jesus comes, and he's the one that can do it. He says, "It is I, the I am, the one who can do this. I can save you." Those extraordinary words. "You know me. You know what I can do. You've seen the things that I can do in your life. Take heart. I can save you. I can do this." And he did. Today, I want to ask you, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, this is the one you need to trust in, the one who can actually save you. You can never save yourself. There's not enough in you to ever do that. The only one who can save you is Jesus Christ, the one who died for you on the cross. He says, "It is I. I'm here." The fourth thing is, remember this when you're looking for greater faith. Remember the Jesus that you have. He responds and he saves. He doesn't just listen. He doesn't just come to you. But he actually does what he says he will do. He says, "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you." When Jesus says he will save you, he will do it. All you have to do is reach out. Jesus, our advocate, our friend, he knows the depths of our souls and he fights for us and never lets us go. And when the storm is over, in Proverbs 10, it says this, "When the tempest passes, the wicked's no more, but the righteous is established forever." He never lets you go. Before we close here and just a few questions, I brought this to you today because this is a lesson that I have been learning, and I think that you need to hear this. Your faith will falter at times. A few months ago, I was struggling with some things. Again, like I said, I search and I try to answer everything, and I don't get it, and then my faith starts to doubt. So I'm just like you, okay? And it was doubtful enough that I asked to not have the time up here to preach or even to lead prayer for a couple of months. And so for a couple of months, you didn't see me up here. You didn't know that, did you? Just because I didn't want to stand up here as a hypocrite in front of you. So I want you to know that I'm not immune to this either. It does happen. But God has restored me. And God has given me greater faith than I had before. And I will tell you, he will do that for you. It was nothing magic, nothing that I found unique in the scriptures, that aha moment. It was just that God continues to work on you. And God will do that for you. So if you're in this place, have hope that he will do the same for you. He will reach out to you, and he did for me. If you are in a place right now where your faith is growing, praise God for that. I want you to remember to pray for others that you know are faltering, and they need you. In Luke 22, it says this, where it says that Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. He might sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, what? Strengthen your brothers. This is your responsibility. So you're in this place right now of good faith. I want you to be paying attention to those around you. This is where we put our faith into practice. Just like we talked through the book Side by Side by Edward Welch for some months, this is where we come alongside each other to serve and to hold each other up and to pray for them. Several brothers here did that for me. I appreciate them very much, and it helped. And just to encourage each other. Look, you need encouragement, don't you? You and I are in this together. We need to encourage each other. Second, if you're being tested by the world, don't give up. You need to reach out to Jesus. Don't give up. Call on him. Ask God for help, just like Peter did. Don't be ashamed to do it. Ask God for help. And you need to spend time with God. And finally, if you're honest to see that you have pushed your faith to the bottom of all those things that you have in your life, you need to admit that you need to make some changes today. If you don't admit this, your pride is standing in the way, and your faith will not grow. You need to humble yourself today. Trust that God will renew your faith. 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:6 says this: to humble yourselves, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your cares, all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. And be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like the roaring lion that we've described, seeking to devour you. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by everyone. You are all going through this. All over the world, we are going through suffering. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his glory in Christ, will himself restore you. He will strengthen you, and he will establish you. It's for God's glory, and he will restore you to your faith. Let's pray. As we are struggling Christians, God, we are mindful of the fact that this world will continue to batter us through our whole lives, that our faith will be challenged, and yet we have a God who never lets go. You are a God who we can trust, who is our firm foundation, and even when we forget, you are still there. God, help those who are struggling right now, even here in this room, who are in a place in their life where their faith has become that dull, mechanical form, and they're just going through the motions to make it through. I ask, Father, that you would help them today to stop and to reach you, to ask for your help, God, that you would restore their faith. For those who are struggling today and are standing in their own way, that their busy lives are causing their faith to be dim, God, that you would help them to make the change today that they know they need to make to spend time with you, to rest in you again, and to restore that joy of knowing Jesus as their Savior. Father, I pray for your spirit to work in them. And for just a moment now, I'm going to ask everyone that you would pray and ask God for those things in your life that you need his help with. And then I'll close. God, it's my prayer today, Father, that your word has been spoken, that it would be an encouragement to those who needed it today. Father, I thank you for my own soul, God, that you never let me go, that my hope is secure in you, and that my life is in your hands, the one who can do all things. Thank you for that. And I pray for those here today who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who do not understand even the things that I've said. Father, that you would work on their hearts today. God, that you would open these things to them. Father, help them to know that they will never have all of the answers, but first of all, that just like me, they are a sinner apart from God, and they need Jesus. There is no other. God, that you would work on them to know that through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, the blood that he spilt, that is the way that they have their sins forgiven. God, that you would help them to be humble enough to know that. Today, Lord, that you would save them, to reach out to Jesus Christ, to ask for forgiveness and for that salvation to be real to them. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things, and I just thank you so much for Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.